all about change and transformation and the changes that we help ourselves and our clients make through the use of various different techniques and tools, specifically neuro-linguistic programming, timeline therapy, and hypnosis. We're going to be talking with our special guest today, Patrick Beiner. And before I get to that, I wanted also to mention that as a life coach, one of the most important things I've found in the work that I do and that all of us do as coaches is to remind ourselves that the clients we work with are truly the most magnificent they can possibly be at any given time. And we remember as life coaches that when we see you in your magnificence that we know you have, we as that transformational person for you are going to help you to be that magnificence that you already are. We never see you as anything less because that's what we're there for, to be your reflection and to help you see and create the tools within yourself that you already have for your magnificent change and transformation in this lifetime. And now, I'd like to bring on our special guest, Patrick Beiner. Patrick?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, you know, I'm doing all right today. But more importantly, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
You've been doing some great things lately, from what I've been reading. You want to talk about some of your successes, or do you want to launch right into how you've been able to create them?
Sure, yeah.
Go ahead.
We can do that.
Great.
Well, a lot of things have been happening, actually. I mean, I'm still working on planning the seminars here in Tucson just to launch everything. Since I just became a trainer during the same time that you became one.
That's right. We're both trainers of neurolinguistic programming.
Exactly.
Patrick has a little extra, though. You have core transformation as well.
Yes. Well, core transformation, the first time I got in touch with that was actually back in Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Where I started the whole NLP. I talked a little bit about it last time that I initially got in touch with NLP through a boss that I had in a project that I worked in.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the psychotherapy school that I attended, I just suggested to have a practitioner certification. And then later when I went on to the master practitioner of NLP, which is the second stage of NLP, I got in touch with core transformation, which was really interesting and really wonderful because one thing that is very wonderful about core transformation is that you can really find out that the problems that you have in your life, behaviors that you hate about yourself, maybe even things that you don't like that you do, maybe even things that you don't like about other people. You can find out what the real reason for that, behind all of that is. And that has to do with, of course, perception is projection.
As we talk about, yes.
Exactly. I mean, we can get a little bit more into that. Maybe you can explain that to the listeners as well.
Oh, I would love to at some point. You bet.
And then, of course, it has to do with just strategies, behavioral strategies, behaviors that we formed in a lot of times our early childhood, just things that happened to us, traumatic experiences, just experiences where we maybe were even in some sort of a small crisis as younger people, younger adults even. And a lot of times what happens in those situations is that we split apart from us.
Oh, we create a part.
Exactly. We create a part. I mean, a lot of times we have a certain, I would almost call it mission in our life, something that we're striving for, and that's something that's really deep. And especially with certain behaviors that we do, we want to get to fulfill that, what we call and what they call in core transformation, the core. And the core generally is a state of being. that can be completely different things for everybody else.
Some people would call that your consciousness within.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe you can give it that name too. Yeah, and I found that really interesting when I got in touch with that, and
mm-hmm.
when I just learned about the core state, and found out that even people who are not generally very spiritual
mm-hmm.
Have a very spiritual, sometimes a very spiritual experience going through the core transformation, but we'll get to that a little bit later.
Oh, please do.
When we go through that, because I can, mm-hmm. I don't know if you want me to talk about this now or a little bit later, because
I could get
a little bit more into the steps of the core transformation.
I would love it if you talked even more about the deeper aspects of the spiritual side of core transformation. We have a lot of listeners who contact us because the work that we do comes from more of a spiritual basis than,
mm-hmm.
Say, a psychotherapeutic.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes, I really truly think that, I know that because I've been told, it makes people feel more comfortable and at ease. You know, like they're talking with somebody that's their friend first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rapport, which we were trained in, helps us to be able to better talk with our clients because we learn to bring ourselves into their level, their model of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I want my clients and you want your clients to be comfortable with themselves as well as with us.
Mm-hmm.
And if they know that we're there with them, you know, connecting with them, and I truly believe that when you use rapport, really use it on its deepest level, you connect with that client on the inner aspect and in their deeper part of their being through that process.
And the great thing about core transformation is that people really find out what is really deep inside and
mm-hmm.
Something that can give them fulfillment. And a lot of times they come across things that they never thought that would be inside themselves.
There you go.
I mean, you hear people who are completely atheist
mm-hmm.
saying things like, my deepest state, what I really want to have is divinity.
Uh-huh.
Or oneness, or love on a spiritual level,
mm-hmm.
and it's so that really shows that spirituality is not only something that has to do with necessarily having a religion,
mm-hmm.
but it is something that, to a certain degree, we all carry within ourselves. We just might give it a different name.
Right.
We might call it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about that, actually, when I see even scientists, people who are very scientific and maybe not religious at all, you can see them having a certain kind of spirituality, I would say, even in science.
Right.
Because, I mean, you even see people believing in things that they don't necessarily can see in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting that if you go into the deeper structures of those feelings that even scientists have during their work, you can find out a structure that is very similar to people who have just simple spiritual experiences
mm-hmm.
or religious experiences.
Well,
so, and that is something that comes out a lot in the core transformation, at least I think so, because that's
mm-hmm.
what I see all the time when I see people going through the core transformation,
mm-hmm.
that they really have experiences that can best be called spiritual, because most of the time it's really hard for people to describe this core state that they are in after you go through the
yeah.
whole what they call outcome chain. But we'll get to that too.
Oh, you know, it's funny when you talk about that. It reminds me of a book I read by Ganga Ji
mm-hmm.
called Diamond in Your Pocket. And she spends roughly 300 pages in that book explaining what consciousness within is. And it's such a difficult thing to actually put into words. But the more I read the book, the more I got into what that was. For me, that's the it's like almost like a void within, but within the void, within that void is actually my beingness, mm-hmm. my energy, you could say. Some would call it my God, my love, or my source.
Yeah, I would say it's mm-hmm. When you get into that state and when you get into that area of your consciousness, if you may, that you experience some kind of a very pure state.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Which means that really everything is absent but this one state that
the purity,
you found.
The love.
And that makes it probably so profound for people and so strong because mm-hmm. they enter this state and then they completely are immersed in, for example, a state of oneness or mm-hmm. a state of beingness, a state of love. And I think that's a wonderful experience that is very intense. And
mm-hmm.
You see it in people's faces. You see it in how they're sitting on their chair, if they sit. And it's incredible how you see almost the energy of that state radiating out of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really profound, really intense energy that you can observe.
Mm. I've actually observed it before in my life coaching work that I've done over the years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I call it the inner shift.
Mm-hmm.
What it means to me, and I've actually gone through a shift myself recently, what it means for me is that when you get into that inner space, nothing else can be there but the truth and the love from my aspect of looking at it. And for instance, say you've been bumping your head up against one of your deepest issues, and it just seems to, you know, we talk about perception as projection in neuro-linguistic programming, and I'll explain that a little bit deeper, but usually when we're bumping up against one of our deeper issues, it's through an experience with another human or another person
mm-hmm.
who is that complete reflection of who we are. And so we're bumping up against our experience because we're seeing who we are through these other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so the shift takes place when you actually see all the essence, you know, the deepest part of that, like you said before, that mm-hmm. you don't like, the thing that you don't like, but you're seeing it with that other person. You know
yeah.
it's you. And when you finally get that it is you and you finally get what that key element, that thing is, you know, say it's control, or say it's anger, or say it's fear. When you finally get that, and you get that, you go within to that space. You talk about the core.
Mm-hmm.
When I went within and I went to the core, I found my love space. I found my forgiveness. And the immediate forgiveness, of course, was for self.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the other. And when that forgiveness and that, you know, total 100% acceptance of self and others took place, that's when the shift occurred. Pretty profound. I've had it happen with clients, and it's just recently happened with me on one of my deeper core issues.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel much freer.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like losing 10 pounds instantly.
Yeah, that's, I mean, one reason why that is the case is, of course, if we don't know about our core state and if we don't have that present in us,
right.
Then we have this part that is split off our whole.
A behavior, if you will?
Yeah, for example. And the part that we have, things that we have to go through a certain series of outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say there's a person that is looking for control. They think that I have to go through control, I have to have control first, and then I can, for example, get peace and comfort when I'm in control. And then peace and comfort might lead to, I don't know, maybe a state of happiness. And then that state of happiness leads to a state of being.
Mm-hmm.
So the part thinks it actually has to go through all those steps to get to the state of being.
Mm-hmm.
And what is really wonderful about Course Transformation is that it finds this outcome, finds out what this outcome chain is, but in the end, more importantly, it found out what the core state is. And then you take this core state
mm-hmm.
that you have found, the state of being, and you let this person really experience how it is to already have that.
Already have everything.
To already have it, and how does it change your life? How does it change your behavior? How does it change your striving for control? You're striving for peace and comfort. You're striving for happiness.
How about this one? And this one I've dealt with a client recently. They were striving for the ultimate love relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what we found. Through the work that we did, I knew this, but it wasn't up to me. Of course, you and I both know that what we do as coaches is not give the answers. We
mm-hmm.
help the client create the answers because they know. They know everything within themselves, right?
Exactly.
Right. So this client was looking for the ultimate love relationship, searching high and low, up and down, basically following the yellow brick road and never finding it. I love the Wizard of Oz as a, what do you call it, a metaphor. But ultimately, what ended up happening was the love that this person was searching for was constant and constant. This person found somebody, and they love this person with all of their heart. And this other person, the relationship didn't quite work. But what
mm-hmm.
my client said was, I still had this tremendous amount of love, and I still love, but it's not a kind of love that, it's like I'm not sitting here and I'm not going, looking at it like it's got to have form. I'm not looking at it like, and that's the thing people forget. You've got to get away from expectation. You've got to get away from looking at form.
Mm-hmm.
the love's got to be a certain way. It's got to be a physical lover. It's got to be a love that leads to a contract and marriage. You've got to get away from that. What ultimately ended up happening was he found that the resonation of that love that he was receiving from this other person, which he was receiving even though the relationship didn't work out, it was being received because it was actually being reflected back at him. The love that he created was his own love.
Mm-hmm.
And he was having that experience within himself. And it was reflected back at him, onto himself, not necessarily through this other person. I mean, the other person did love him. But see, the thing that we don't understand about this is that every experience we have
mm-hmm.
happens within us. It's not happening because the outside world is coming in with all these bad things or all these good things. It's ultimately the experience is 100% within your core, as you call it.
It shapes our world. I mean, we shape our world.
We shape our world by what's going on within that core, because what we bring out and we reflect off of what I like to refer to as our aura, what we were reflecting off that aura is what's coming from within. I describe it as a movie projector from a projector booth, and it projects out onto the screen, which is your aura, your field
mm-hmm.
around you.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, that love that he was projecting out of his movie projector was reflecting off of his aura, and he was receiving it back. It was his love for himself. They always say you have to love yourself first before you can love another person. That's
mm-hmm.
because ultimately, the love that you receive is received from you. It's your ultimate experience.
Yeah, and especially with love, it's easy to actually explain that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have love for yourself, then you don't expect that other people will give you love or that you're worthy of that love. Therefore, what you will see in other people is exactly that belief.
Mm-hmm, because you're reflecting it.
Exactly. You
mm-hmm.
will see how other people don't love you, how other people don't do this, don't do that, how they do everything to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that really comes from your inside. It's because that's what you expect, that's what your focus is on.
Right, and the ultimate relationship, and I know many people have said this, but it's true, the ultimate relationship is the one of self, the one of core, the one of conscious being within.
Mm-hmm.
If you get into that space and you resonate that love from within you, everyone that comes into your presence, into your being, will be your love because you are your love, You understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
I hope everybody else does. That's what I'm hoping, is that everybody gets it. That any time you have an experience, if any kind of emotional experience or behavioral experience, it's completely your own. It's always within you. Other people can be affected by your experience, though.
Oh, definitely.
As we understand.
I mean, that's when we talked about it a little bit earlier, that your world will change if you change inside.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I in the beginning never understood when I went through things like parental re-imprinting, or when I went through timeline therapy, what I always asked was, how can I change other people? And number one, I'm not able to change their mind.
Right.
And number two, I cannot really, really travel in time and change something in time, because I still remember what went wrong. But it's not really about that. It's about the representation that we carry inside ourselves.
Exactly.
It's like you're taking taking a picture, and you're putting a new layer of color over it, and the whole picture looks different.
That's a shift. That's what I refer to as a shift.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because you're letting go of the color, if you will, isn't serving.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't serving the balance of the whole. It's not serving the creation of the balance of the whole and the true vibration that is your beingness. And that's for me, that's what timeline therapy does, is it gets rid of all the negative emotions, the limiting beliefs,
mm-hmm.
the things that really, truly are here to teach us. God bless them, they're here to teach us. And I'm so grateful for the learnings that I receive from all of the experiences, for the good or the bad in the life. But ultimately, I can't hang on to the negative energy, because the negative energy doesn't serve to keep bringing forth the magnificence of my being. And I teach that to my clients. Your magnificence will be brought forth through your releasing. I gave the metaphor, if you were listening last week, I gave the metaphor of the stranger
mm-hmm.
in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of changed the ending a little bit from what you remember from when I told it before. Basically, he ends up in the desert realizing that his ultimate task in life is to let the world know that they no longer need to walk through the desert dragging along their baggage, their negative emotions, their fear, mm-hmm. their stress, their anxiety, their conscious idea of not being enough. They can let that go. And that his ultimate challenge in life is to go throughout the world and teach people to let
mm-hmm.
go.
Yeah.
Don't you think we're kind of like that stranger, you and I?
Yeah. I mean, everybody is to a certain degree, I think.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I think it's really good to ask yourself one question, and that is good for everybody, not only people who maybe have issues with self-esteem, but also people who think that others are the reason for them suffering or for them not feeling well. And the one thing is, ask yourself, do I believe that essentially every person is good and every person has something good within them? And then in connection with that, what one time I was thinking about exactly that, and I thought of a sky. When you look at a sky and you have a lot of clouds that cover the blue of the sky, and you just really see a blanket of gray, you still know, and everybody knows, that there is still a sun shining behind that.
Absolutely. That's the magnificence.
There is a sun, and there's a blue sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important for everybody to remember, that we humans are very similar to that. That, number one, I might, in my mind, be clouded and not see my own magnificence.
Right.
And then number two, maybe even because of that, I might not see the magnificence of others, because I'm looking through the wrong filter.
Right, the filter.
I'm just seeing clouds, and I'm not noticing that there's actually a sun that still has an effect on us.
Speaking of filters, you wondered, or you were asking me about, you asked about perception as projection. Right? Remember?
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing, mm-hmm. especially for core transformation. It's very important as well.
Do you talk about the the 2 million bits of information that people are taking in through their auditory, visual, and kinesthetic sensory systems, and how they're transmuting these bits through their filters. Their filters being deletions, distortions, and generalizations, and deleting it, distorting it, and generalizing it down into roughly 134 bits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. That's a long story short, for people out there that really don't care about the technical aspect of it, when information comes in through your senses, there's so much of it, you're bombarded by it, and it filters its way through your filtration systems. And in order for you to understand it, it's got to be filtered into your internal representation of the world through language, through memories, through decisions, programs that have been run, values, beliefs, attitudes, all of that. And ultimately, as that information comes through, you project a perception, and often what you're projecting out onto, as Patrick and I are talking about it, you're projecting from your core out onto the world what you are receiving in according to those filter systems, how it filters through your values, beliefs, attitudes, decisions, mm-hmm. previous decisions. Correct?
Yes.
Am I getting it?
Yeah.
And
I think that was an accurate description.
I'm trying. I'm doing my best here. This is something that took me quite some time to understand. For me, what I realize is when the information comes in, first of all, I always remind myself and everyone around me is doing the best we can with what we have to work with. My value system, my attitudes, my beliefs are all mine, and I'm working on constant change and transformation with myself and my clients every single day. I'm doing my very, very best. And what comes into me, or what I am perceiving, what is coming in through my filters, is what I'm going to project out. And every single day, it's my attempt to project out the most loving, the most magnificent, the most abundant, that's why the company is called Abundance, Create Abundance Now, being that I can possibly be. And I'm not perfect at it, okay? But I'm getting better, and a lot of it is changing for me and is changing for the clients I work with, because we realize the things that we're perceiving as we work through the deletions, distortions, and generalizations, and we work through these perception factors, work through the values that aren't working, or the attitudes that aren't working, or the programs that aren't working, or letting go of the behaviors that aren't working, the projections become more and more clear.
Mm-hmm.
They become more and more pure, and a part of what you are referring to, and I agree with, as the core. The core is becoming more and more balanced. And it's a generator, if you will, and it's generating a purer, a more true and loving projection.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah, I think that's all these things that you talked about right now. That's a big reason why we really let the person or the client do the process.
Yes.
Not to have our own projections interfere, and I think that's the problem with a lot of ways psychotherapy deals with problems, deals with clients.
Right.
Just the traditional form, and that's the great thing about, for example, NLP,
mm-hmm.
Because NLP really looks for the solutions that the person, the client, already has within themselves.
That's correct.
All that we have inside ourselves, if we use it with ourselves.
We truly do have all of the power and the skills and the tools within us.
Mm-hmm.
We're born with
that. And that's where core transformation is really powerful, because you really start off with going through your filters and just finding out, what am I doing now? I mean, what is mm-hmm. what's going on now? What do I not like?
That's conscious, and becoming conscious, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Because a lot of times we run on autopilot. We don't really know what's going on until we sit down and we take the time to think, let's see, this part inside me that produces this behavior, what kind of a part is this? And then you really go and experience it, and then a very interesting thing happens. You receive it and you welcome it. And a lot of people might think, wait a second, didn't you just say that that's a bad behavior that you have? Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a bad behavior, but the bad behavior has a positive intention.
That's right, and nothing heals through admonishment. Healing only takes place through love.
Yeah, and remembering where this part comes from. Mm-hmm. This part comes from our unconscious, and we know, mm-hmm. Especially those people who got a little bit more into Milton Erickson's work, was one of the most famous hypnotherapists
yes.
in the world. He actually made hypnotherapy something that is acknowledged
That's
by
right.
even the clinical community. He talked about the unconscious being our friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think C.G. Jung talked about that too.
Oh, C.G. Jung actually devoted a great deal of his time talking about
the unconscious
mind. Yes,
exactly.
Have a background in the Jungian work, and I'm a huge believer in that. The thing that most people don't get with the unconscious mind is it's not a scary thing. It's mm-hmm. one of the biggest tools you have at your disposal for change of your entire being. I mean, your unconscious mind is part of your core, the core you talk about.
It's one of the most resourceful things that
mm-hmm.
you have. I mean, the most, it's your biggest resource, actually.
Mm-hmm. Your unconscious mind and your core.
Mm-hmm.
Your core is your true consciousness within. And
mm-hmm.
conscious meaning not conscious mind. Consciousness meaning that beingness within. That beingness within works with the unconscious mind and
mm-hmm.
the change that's made at the unconscious level, because the unconscious mind only ever wants what's best for us.
Mm-hmm.
It helps support the maintenance of the body, and as the core changes, the unconscious mind, of course, which is eavesdropping constantly, is picking that information up and creating new behaviors, new
yeah.
states for you, and, God willing, anchoring you into them
yeah.
so that you, when you go into the world, are able to truly create your life from not a space of fear. Or for me, I had a lot of insecurity for many, many years, and going through neurolinguistic programming and timeline therapy was probably the first experience I'd ever had. Any kind of therapy I'd done before never worked. It was the first experience I ever had in my life where I didn't have this feeling of anxiety within me in the pit of my stomach. You know, it was
mm-hmm.
always insecurity, like I didn't feel like I was good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid of, you know, really having the confidence to go out there and just do what I knew I was born in this life to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, for me, which is healing and motivational speaking and doing trainings and doing coachings. And
mm-hmm.
when I got that, and when I, you know, finally, that feeling within the pit went away.
Mm-hmm.
It finally went away. And I knew that was because the unconscious mind had done that work, you know, and gotten that information, and the core and the unconscious mind were talking, and the unconscious mind finally said, "Phew, I can get rid of that one, yay." That wasn't serving me.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you just
mm-hmm.
stop and think about what does your unconscious mind do every day? How many times does it move your fingers, your legs, your eyelids? How does it regulate your breathing? How does it regulate your heartbeat? How does it help you to drive a car? How does it do all the little things that we do that we don't even think about? I mean, most people even think about cooking. You're standing there and you're slicing your tomatoes. You
yeah.
have a knife inside your hand, which is not necessarily something that is not dangerous.
It's
but you're
not
still...
Fair, yeah.
You're still thinking about something else in that moment.
Uh-huh.
And why are you able to do that? Because you have an unconscious mind that does all of that,
yes.
that really steers all of your behaviors, that controls all your behaviors. And now
powerful.
What NLP does, what the core transformation does, it goes into the more complex behaviors that we have, and it gives us the ability to rewire it in a way that it is most beneficial for us, and that it gives us, in the end, the biggest sense of fulfillment and happiness that we can get.
And also, It's so great that you and I both have a background in NLP, and I'm learning more and more about core transformation from reading the book, but I'd like to take training. But also the thing that it gives us is one of the prerequisites that we talk about in NLP, and that's flexibility. The most power that you can have at any given moment is to have the flexibility. And through that change, the flexibility is created. That's when you really know that you can do whatever you need to do, is through that flexibility.
Yeah, and maybe to explain it to the listeners
better.
Why this is so important, why you're referring to that right now, the reason is because a lot of times we are on our little autopilot. And somebody looks at us in a way that reminds us of some way that somebody looked at us that didn't like us, for example.
Right.
And we automatically react to that. Or somebody says something.
Unconsciously.
Exactly. It's all unconscious, but it is a behavior that we established at one point, and it happens automatically. So what we don't have in that moment is we don't have the possibility to have the flexibility to decide how we want to react to that. And then that's exactly the point where we can make a change on the unconscious level where those behaviors are happening with NLP, with core transformation, with timeline therapy, with parental re-imprinting, and a lot of other wonderful techniques that came about in the last few years.
The last 20 years, I think, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, NLP is already around for over 30 years.
You know, when you were talking about the flexibility, it made me realize something, too. I just forgot what it was. It'll come back to me.
Well, maybe I can tell you a little bit more about the steps of the core transformation.
That's
and then
okay. Go
it'll
ahead.
It'll come back to you. Probably.
There you go.
So the first step we kind of got into already, which is choosing the part that you want to work with, choosing the behavior, the state that you don't like, and then experience it and receive it and then welcome it, which is a really important thing, because we know that behaviors that we have inside ourselves, we tend to justify those.
Yes.
And even if I'm working, and even if I'm working alone with my part, I will still get into that automatic program to justify myself if I work with the part in a way that I attack it.
Right.
And that's why we want to welcome it and why we want to show appreciation for the part.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, we actually go through a similar process that we use in the NLP parts integration.
I was going to say that sounds suspiciously close to parts integration, which is, if anybody knows me, that is my all-time ultimate favorite thing about NLP.
Yeah, it's a great technique.
It's transformationally profound.
The difference, though, is that you don't use two parts that are in conflict, that you really just stick with the part that you're kind of bothered by, I would even say.
Okay.
And then you start discovering the purpose of that part. You really ask the part, literally, what do you want by doing this and that, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually you discover an outcome chain that takes you through a lot of different outcomes that or purposes that your unconscious part is after.
Right.
And
outcome is everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You want a positive outcome. You're focusing towards the positive outcome because the part originally had a positive outcome in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it broke away because it got involved in a negative behavior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then when you have that outcome, the first outcome, you will ask the part that if the part has this outcome, you would actually ask the part if you have this outcome, maybe wanting to have control. If you have that fully and completely, what do you want through having that, that is even more important?
Mm-hmm.
And you will ask this question, and you will keep on asking that question until you get to the core state, which you will notice not only by how the client looks, but also by just the words they use. It is usually a very profound state, like we already said. It's a state of beingness, a state of oneness, sort of general, but at the same time very specific for the person that is in that state, because the feeling connected to it is very specific. Mm-hmm. So you will notice when that person enters that core state. And once you have found that core state, which you usually can notice by the client cannot come up with anything else, or you yourself cannot come up with anything else.
They're empty at that point.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times they're just so fulfilled already when they're in there that they don't even want to go further.
Mm-hmm.
So they will let you know that they're there at the core state. What you want to do after that is you reverse that outcome chain, which means you let the person at first really, really get into that core state, experience it through every fiber of their being, and then take that core state and ask them, when you just have that core state as a beginning and as a way of being in the world, how does that already, having the core state, for example, oneness, how does already having oneness, for example, make things different? So you're asking very general at first, which will take that person even further into the state.
The shift is happening at that point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get it. You make it more specific. You go through the outcome chain that you have elicited, that you have found out, and probably written down.
Mm-hmm.
And you will ask them about every single part of that outcome chain. How does having that change this? How does it change that? How does it change having control, maybe, or needing to have control?
Mm-hmm.
And then in the end, you have the original context with it, which is the behavior that you started with,
mm-hmm.
or the state that you started with that you didn't like. And then you see how having the core state already will transform that. Now, a lot of times, and that's the next step, a lot of times you will notice that this part is, so to say, younger than you are.
Oh, the inner child.
Because you developed it at a different point in your life.
Sure.
Let's say the behavior was developed at age 3 when Uncle Harry looked at you in a wrong way and gave you a slap on the butt.
That's right.
That really hurt.
One of those filters distorted, deleted, or generalized.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened when you were younger. So usually the part didn't develop with you, which is why you still have that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is you want to find out at first, how old is that part? So you will actually ask the question, how old are you, to that part? And then you will ask, well, do you want to have the benefits that come from evolving forward in time to your current age with the core state fully present?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, your part will not say no to this.
Of course not.
Because it will give you so much more resources.
Heal,
I mean,
right.
If we think about, for example, let's say we developed this part in an age of 3, and we have gained so much more so many more resources
learning
up to our age of, let's say, 28, 35, or 41.
Mm-hmm.
And having that part evolve forward through time with the core state present will make the whole experience even more profound, because it can just go and take all the resources we gained through life and include it in the part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're done with that, a lot of times people still have the part sort of located outside of their body. People who are familiar with NLP know how to work with the pictures, the location of the pictures,
mm-hmm.
The location of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually have and feel, really experience a feeling that is outside of you, maybe somewhere in the room. So what you want to do next is actually take this feeling and put it inside you.
Integrate, right.
Yeah, it integrates it and it associates you even more into that feeling.
Wonderful.
So then you will let your client, or you, if you do it yourself, because you can actually go through the core transformation process pretty well on your own, you can just enjoy that state, because it's really important that you know how this core state feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just take some time to just enjoy it, stay in it, let it really go through your whole body.
Well, it is you, actually. It is your being.
It is you, yeah, of course. It's the very core of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will do the same thing that we did before again. You will reverse the outcome chain. And why are we doing this now again? It's really easy because we grew up the part.
Oh, yeah.
Which means that we have more resources within that part. So we reverse the outcome chain again. We go from the core state down to the behavior that we disliked. And sometimes in the end, we would check for objecting parts. If there are any parts that that still have an objection to just being in that way, and maybe you have to work with an additional part then.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you actually do a timeline generalization, which is a little bit different to the timeline therapy, of course, but it uses the notion of us having a timeline. And it lets you take your core state, see your timeline, and then go back before your conception and have your unconscious take and have the core state of being that you have found for yourself, and then go along the timeline from the past into the present.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that several times because for some people it becomes, number one, it becomes more profound.
And what are they doing as they go along the timeline?
They see how your life basically changes.
Okay, so they're
with
they're
the state of being, with
transforming
the
and letting
state. Go. Yeah, exactly.
And letting go of what did not serve.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah. Okay. Powerful.
So you allow yourself to move forward through the time, and you're letting. A lot of times, the core state has a certain color by that time, which is an additional sensation that you get.
Huh?
And then you have it transform every moment of experience up to the present.
That sounds great.
And then you, from that point on, you move forward into the future.
Mm.
And you notice how your timeline changes into the future.
Now you talk about colors. Is there colors, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
I kind
of
believe that.
Because a lot of times, I mean, we do see a difference in colors, like, you know, when we work with a timeline.
Yeah.
A lot of times we might see it brighter, we might see it more dim or darker, and then sometimes it even has different colors.
I believe those are your chakras.
Mm-hmm.
That's my belief.
Yeah.
That's are your chakras, and as you're going through the different processes, you're healing and balancing out your chakra energy within your core being.
Yeah, that might be very possible that happens.
Yeah, I don't know. That knowledge has been around for about 4,000 years, so I kind of wonder if it may be based in some form of truth.
I think, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking core transformation probably, like NLP and timeline, gets their principles and their techniques from different cultures, I think.
And combinations. So, and that's good because really gleaning the best of the best,
mm-hmm.
and bringing it together. I think that you and I both have talked about this before. We both feel that we bring to the table with our clients what we've experienced
mm-hmm.
from all the trainings we have, and we bring to the table the best of the best of what we've learned through the transformation in ourselves as well as through what we've seen as the transformation with our clients.
Yeah. I personally hope
yes.
Maybe I just finished this really quickly because in the end you the last step is basically just you're cycling through the timeline generalization.
Mm-hmm.
You do that several times. It will become faster each time. It will become more profound each time. And then you just future pace it, which means that you really notice again how that will change your life in the future. So the other thing that I wanted to say is,
yes.
it's just that I really, really hope that everybody in this world will notice much more what NLP is good for and how great of coaches and therapists, people who are trained in NLP really are. Because what I noticed is that that a lot of our colleagues that do NLP really put much focus on always keeping themselves up to date, always trying to find new ways of helping their clients. They're really evolving as people, as coaches, as therapists. And I think that's the greatest thing for our clients
Me too.
A person that wants to do that.
That comes right back to the basis. I heard you talking about in the core transformation, and the one thing that the core ends up with, ultimately, from what I'm hearing, is this, the first question you asked at the beginning, which is ask yourself, do you believe every person has something good within them? And that's the core.
Mm-hmm.
Because remembering that we are all one, we're all the same, we're asking ourselves, do we believe we have something good within ourselves at any given time? Yeah, and I have to agree with the idea that, you know, as trainers, we do keep up on what we're doing because we have an insatiable desire for knowledge and love for people. We know that we love people from within. And once again, as much love as we transmit from within ourselves is what we're going to radiate out and receive back.
Mm-hmm.
We do that with our clients, and we see them in their magnificence, because that's their magnificence as well as our own true magnificence.
Oh, yeah.
And they won't change if we don't see that magnificence in them, and that magnificence comes first with self. Just like everything else, love comes first with self, magnificence comes first with self-acceptance. All that comes from self first.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And so at a certain point, you just notice, you have to notice, especially when you're going through a core transformation process or through other processes that you have in NLP, you notice who you truly are inside.
Mm-hmm.
And once you notice that, you will notice that you're actually somebody that is deeply rooted in everything that's good.
Everything that's good and everything that's love, everything that's acceptance, yes.
And once you notice that within yourself, you will notice that with other people. You will start noticing, you will want to notice these things with other people. And I really love that about core transformation. I love that about NLP, that it puts the control into everybody's hands. And and it does make this world a better place because you notice that you don't need a scapegoat for things that go wrong in your life. You don't need a scapegoat for you feeling badly. You don't need a scapegoat for everything that maybe goes wrong in your life, everything that you feel inside yourself that is bad. I mean, that is something that is becoming more in this world that we see that mentality a lot, that we need to find another person to blame for
we
what's
call
going
it the
on
effect.
Inside ourselves.
It's
yeah.
the effect side of the cause and effect scenario.
That brings us right back to that.
I didn't do it. Don't blame me. You know, the Bart Simpson excuse.
Yeah.
The thing that people don't understand is, and I'm hard with my clients on this, I tell them, you know, you can live in that chain.
Mm-hmm.
You can look outside yourself for everything. But you never are going to totally heal until you take charge and take control of the situation because it's you. It isn't everybody else. It's you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I do it in a loving way, though, because I do truly love my clients. I had to start with myself first. And I have to tell myself every day, okay, wait a minute now. Oh, yeah. I create everything. Okay, I'm at cause. Back to flexibility. I did remember what it was I wanted to talk about. There are two things. You were talking about the core transformation. One of the things I heard you talking about kind of harkened back to reframing for me. And if people don't know what reframing is, when we're dealing, like say for instance, we're dealing with someone who's on the effect side, who's on the blame side of the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a negative energy, all right? You can use a little little thing we know about an NLP, in order to change your own perception and your own experience with that individual at any given time, you can reframe the meaning. Reframing the meaning, and one of the biggest reframes I use is I keep coming back to, they're only doing the best they can at any given time with what they have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I reframe that behavior because I know that, God bless them, and as much as you know, they are doing the best. They're stuck in a little loop right now, and it's their loop, and they may or may not be ready to get out of it. But I can reframe anything and give it a different meaning. I can look at someone's behavior, and I can understand, you know, she's doing it because she truly loves her children. She doesn't mean to, you know, control their life. It's just, you know, that's a mother's love at times. You know, I can reframe it and see that it's truly something that they're doing out of love, and let that go, and not let it affect me, and that creates a more positive vibration from my experience in that circumstance by reframing it into a different meaning.
Especially when we're talking about communication.
Yes.
Everybody has this situation or had this situation before when they were talking to somebody and you just noticed the other person getting really mad at you. And you're asking yourself, wait a second, I meant that in a completely different way. I meant this in a nice way. And the other person got mad at you, and you're sitting there, and you're completely baffled that this person could see you in that light.
Right.
Now, a lot of times, though, what we do is we get inside the behavior of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
We do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we have the ability to, when we're in that situation, actually notice, wait a second, what? I was in a situation like this before, and I didn't mean it like that, and somebody else mistook it.
Right.
So how about this situation that I'm in right now, and how about the person that offended me? Did they really want to offend me?
And of course not.
And if they say they didn't, why don't I believe that?
Mm.
And a lot of times that has something to do with me not having the flexibility, me being stuck in my automatic program.
Exactly. And once again, forgiveness. Get into your core.
Yeah.
And reframe it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We're running out of time.
All right.
We are running out of time. And I'm going to have to let you go.
It was wonderful being on with you again.
It's wonderful being with you. You resonate such a wonderful space of love, and I see your truth, and that you are working with the world, making positive changes. I'm always telling people about how amazing I find you to be. You're one of the most amazing young men I've ever met. You keep
doing
what you're doing, my friend.
Yeah, I'm actually doing phone consultation now as well. So
me too, right.
That will be very interesting to do. And you saying this gives me additional motivation for this. Thank you very much.
Oh, you know that's what I'm here for. I'm one of your biggest fans, Patrick.
Thank you very
much. Thank you, and I will talk to you soon.
I will talk to you soon, too.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
I want to thank Patrick again for joining us. And join us next week when we're going to be bringing to the show Create Abundance Now. We're going to do a mini workshop and help you to get some of the tools you need to create focus and to create in your life the things that you want to create and get rid of some of the baggage that may have been holding you back. This is Roxanne, and this has been Create Abundance Now. Thank you for your time, and go out there and make it a wonderful day. And remember, you can find me at www.createabundancenow.net or createabundancenow@gmail.com.